Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. My dad, Pastor Salem, preached the Word of God and encouraged his viewers and listeners to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, honor Him, and have a personal relationship with Him. I'm Mike Salem. We are thrilled you can be with us today, and thank you for all of your notes and letters you send our way. From Pennsylvania, thank you for your weekly broadcasts of faith and inspiration. Pastor Salem's words are a comfort in these troublesome times. I am grateful for his service and the work of the Christian Worship Hour staff to bring us his timeless services each week for us to enjoy and rejoice in the saving power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's message, Jesus, the Only Way, expresses that Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his total person and action, is the only way to God and heaven. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I've said it so many times, we're always happy when we can come back and worship with you, and you open up the doors for us, and in we come, and we have a great time together. And today we're going to preach a sermon on the only way to God. There's one way, according to the Bible. And you say, oh, I thought there was a lot of ways. I hear of different ways all the time. And they tell me that, you know, if you just be good and try it, why, you get to heaven. And so, but Jesus said there's only one way. That's what we're going to look at. But we want to open with Psalm 119, beginning with 105. Thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. I have sworn and I will perform it. That will I keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy way. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. And, O Lord, that is our prayer. We love your word, and we want to obey your word. And your word to us gives us, it is as sweet as a honey out of a honeycomb. And it gives us strength and help. And so we thank you for the wonderful, wonderful word of God, the Bible. And help us, Lord, to obey it and listen to it constantly. That's what our prayer might be today as we proclaim the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jan's going to start us today with this wonderful song, How Can I Trust Him? And God bless you, Jan.
Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that he is
Well, thank you, Jan. And that's the gospel. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. He'll never fail you. And I tell you, when you have that Bible, that word is never going to change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. That's what God tells us. And so when God says it, just believe it. And it'll give you peace and strength and help. Oh, what a wonderful message to be able to proclaim the wonderful, wonderful Word of God. Well, I want to share some of the letters. First of all, we're going to talk about one way to God, the only way to God. But let's look at some of the letters. We really got some nice letters. And the first one is from Lakeland, Florida. And she says, "You have really encouraged me through the years. I'm 85 years old, and listen to this, and have buried all of my sons, 4. And a husband. I'm so sad all the time, but I am still going for God every day. God has given me the opportunity to lead even my great-grandchildren to the Lord. Keep preaching and God bless you." Now here's a lady, and she could be bitter toward God. Believe me, I've been in the ministry now on 75 years. I'm going to tell you, I've heard a lot of people talking about how they were so good to God, and they tried and they did their best and didn't work out, and they're mad at God, and as far as I know, they died that way. Now, here's a lady, she lost her husband, she lost 4 boys, but she loves Jesus, she hurts, and well, she might. But what is she doing? She's leading her great-grandchildren to the Lord. She's 85 years old, and she's a missionary for the Lord. And that's exactly it. And when we get to meet the Lord, you know, Jesus told his disciples, they were worrying, wondering why certain things happened the way they did. And this is what Jesus said to them in John 16, verse 23. "In that day, ye shall ask me nothing." That is, when we get to heaven, you won't say, "Why did you do it?" You say, "Oh, now I see. Now I see why that happened. I couldn't understand it then, but I understand it now." Yeah, you just trust Jesus. Here's Edina, Minnesota. "Thank you for always reminding me I will never be perfect this side of heaven. And that's exactly it. We want to be perfect. When we accept the Lord, we want to be perfect. I remember I accepted the Lord when I was 10 years old, lived out on the farm. Part of my chores was to milk a couple of cows. And those cows, I got so mad at them, I'd lose my temper. And, oh, I was angry at those cows. And then I accepted the Lord. And the evangelist said, you have to turn from your bad ways and what you're doing wrong. You got to correct it. So I thought, oh, my temper. If I can just get on top of my temper and control that, I'll be a perfect Christian. Well, I worked on that and I found out, oh, boy, do I have some flaws. And I got a ton of them. And then I realized I'm never going to be perfect on this side of heaven. I strive for perfection. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. But there's always a slip up somewhere, someplace. And I've gone to every time I sinned, I've gone to the Lord and asked him to forgive me. I suppose I've gone 5,000 times. I don't know. But I know this. He says, if we confess our sins, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. That's the love of God. If we confess our sins, go back and start over, he'll forgive us. Oh, I love to preach. It's filled with mercy and grace and help. Let's see, what is this? Gillette, Wyoming. Oh, yeah, listen to this. I found your program on TV. I've been watching you for years now in the comfort of my home. That means he's sitting on an easy chair somewhere. Don't worry. I drink a cup of coffee during the service and I'm always awake. Well, I just pray that he's got a big cup because, oh, I have seen some of these fellows in church. They are gone. And they get to the poor things, they sleep and they got a crick in their neck, and then they got to go to the chiropractor the next day. But I believe him. He says he stays awake. I believe him, and God bless him and appreciate him. Lingley, Wyoming. I am 12 years old and going into sixth grade. I would like to thank you so much for your sermons. They're inspirational and soul-filling. I have a prayer request. Please pray for me. I also have a question. My granddad passed away a few years ago, and my grandpa is not a very good Christian man. Would you be my spiritual grandfather? And I wrote to this young man. I said, I would be honored to be your spiritual grandfather. And I prayed for that boy. And I just feel like God's going to do something special with him. He's going to grow up. God's going to use him in a wonderful way. And I'm proud to be of his spiritual grandfather. Tulsa, Oklahoma, please send us one more DVD. We gave ours to an unsaved neighbor. Please pray for him, your Okie friends. And so this is the film, The Heart of a Shepherd. And he has a neighbor that isn't a Christian. And he gave him this film. And now, you know, when we had the dream for this film and we're making this film, you know what we did? We wanted to do something that we could give to people and they could leave with their friends. And it's hard to talk to some people about the Lord and that you give them this film. And this film, it's a very interesting film. It's a little boy, 10 years old, and he became a preacher. And then it talks about how to accept Jesus and what the little boy prayed. And you can pray. It's absolutely perfect in presenting the invitation to Christ. And so what would be a good idea this time of the year, get some for a Christmas gift because they're all packaged up and cellophane on them and they're in color and they're just a beautiful little box and then inside is that film and you can get it on a free will offering basis. And or you just send whatever you have. And so the value of it, the street value of it would be $10. So if you can do that, fine. But whatever you can do, just send that in. And get a bunch of these for Christmas. Give them as Christmas gifts. And give them to your neighbors and to Christians because there's encouragement there. There's a lot of hardship in the depression years. It'll encourage people. So I'll give you the address where to write in just a minute. So get your pencil and paper ready. Council Bluffs, Iowa. Thank you for telling me how to bring Jesus to me. I'm a better person now, not perfect, but better. Ha. Please say a prayer for my wife. She has lung cancer, and thank you. So we want to pray for this brother. And here he is. He's come to Jesus. You know how he came to Jesus? We're preaching the gospel. And you know what? We have to have all of you helping us. Our team can't do it. We don't have enough money to go all the way around the world. And so we have all of our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you send your gifts. And so by shortwave, we reach 90% of the world's population. And we have on radio, we just took on about 900 new stations on radio. And we're televised worldwide. And it's got that message, Jesus loves you. And you can come to Jesus and find everlasting life. So your gifts made that possible. Selma, Virginia. I'm not a person with words and have been praying about how to witness to others when I don't have the words. Then you tell about this film you have, Heart of a Shepherd. Maybe God led me to your program and answered my prayer. I'd appreciate it if you'd send me this film, and if possible, I'd like to have an extra one for my church. And so you're bringing the gospel to the Lord. You're missionaries for the Lord. And we send them out to the people. And it's always sent on a free will offering basis, so help us as you can. And if it costs you that much money, then you don't get any money from me. I'm in prison. I want to get this. But how can you keep going if I don't send you money? I'll tell you, we got a secret weapon. We got people that love the Lord, and they hear me say, we'll send them out free or whatever you've got. And they say, well, I've got some money. I'll help them. And we get checks all the time from people that send in gifts to help us to make up for people who don't have the money. So God, he works it out all just perfect. Well, let me see. I got one more letter here. Minneapolis, Minnesota. I did everything wrong all my life. I don't know what'll become of me. Well, this is the easiest letter than the whole bunch to answer. I know what'll become of you. If you accept Jesus, you'll go to heaven. And if you reject Jesus and pick the devil, you go to hell. That's all you say, that's hate speech. Hate speech. Now, let me tell you a little secret, friends. That's love speech. So get your head on straight and don't listen to what culture is trying to tell you with all this crazy talk they got. That's love speech. You know, about in 1990, my doctor discovered I had cancer and it had gone through the wall of my intestine and they didn't know if it spread or not. And after he took the test, he says, you know, Pastor, you've got cancer. Now, but we can give you some medicine and we'll give a chemo. And I went through all of that. And now it's going on 40 years, been 29 years, I guess it is, 1990. And now it's about 30 years. See? And I thought, now that doctor could have said, everything is fine. It's just lovely. You just go on. You're going to live to be 100. Just go to it, see? That would have been hate speech. But when he said, you've got cancer and we got to deal with it, that's love speech. And when I tell you if you don't have Jesus, you're going to go to hell, that's love speech. So get it into your head somehow. Because forget this right speech and the exact way to talk. You say, well, God wouldn't say anything. Well, let's see. What did Jesus say? Here it is, John 3:36. Jesus said this. This is what Jesus said. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's heaven. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's hell. So Jesus saying the same thing I just got through saying. You have Jesus, you go to heaven. You don't have Jesus, you go to hell. That's really the whole reason for the Christian worship hour. Well, it's not the whole reason. We want to encourage young people and all other things. But the main thing is we want you to come to Jesus. And if you want information, you can write to us and get your pencil and paper ready. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get a little booklet, a little paper we have. And we have a little Bible study. And the Bible study for the month of November is St. Paul's Be Thankful List. And we have different Bible studies every month, free and postpaid. And if you can send us a gift, we need to have that. You can even send that on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we'll get it and we'll use it to the proclamation of the gospel. And always remember, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books all the time and everything's on the level. So you pray and give as God leads. And we're just going to leave it all up to you. So now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray. And you give as God leads. And we'll get just what we need every time. Done it for almost 40 years. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those that you're speaking to. Thank you for their being faithful to the cause of this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. I really love that song, Christ Alone. It's all Jesus. And that's what we have in the Christian Worship Hour. Jesus, that's all we're interested in. Jesus and his wonderful word. Well, we're reading from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we're looking at the first six verses, starting with verse 1. And in this, prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Pakistan. And that means that all of our listeners all over the world, we're going to pray for Pakistan this week, see. And then we'll get your, we've got 50 different countries. And we go down the list and we pray for those countries. So Jesus talks, and then this is in John chapter 14, beginning with the first verse. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, let's stop there just a minute. Look at what God says. You believe in God, that's not enough. You'll never get to heaven just believing in God. Look what it says. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus. You've got to have Jesus to get to heaven. That's exactly it. So let's look at it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And then Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me," Jesus. Heavenly Father, help us to get that through our head, that the only way to God, the only way to heaven is through Jesus. He is the door. He says, I'm the door. I'm the light of the world. I'm the way to Jesus. I'm the way to God. And so we hold Jesus forth as the Savior of the world. It's not by anything that we have done. And in Ephesians, you tell us, not by works of righteousness which we have done. According to his mercy, he saved us. It's the mercy of God. It's faith in Jesus. Jesus is the way. And then after we're saved, then we do our works. And so I just pray, Lord, that you'll use this message to speak to many hearts, and that people will be open to your word, and they'll be receptive to your word, and that the Holy Spirit talks to them, and they'll respond. And then, Lord, we're praying for those in Pakistan, and we think of how so many of them are suffering. We just ask you to bless and to help them and lead them along the way. Now we give you this service, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And Hank's going to sing. He says, now I'm living on the mountain.
Walked in the valley for so long, everywhere I turned was dark. But the Lord's arms were around me. He was protecting me from harm, through the bad and through the good. God has renewed my mind. Now I can see that his goodness was chasing me all the time. Now I'm living on the mountain. Life looks beautiful from here. As I look down in the valley, I see God's promises so clear. Now I'm living on the mountain. All my worry was in vain. So if you're going through the valley, just keep on praising Jesus' name. Ah, yeah. Sometimes a valley can be good to get our focus on the Lord. When he brings us through the trial, we are stronger than before. Now I'm living on the mountain. Life looks beautiful from here. As I look down in the valley, I see God's promises so clear. Now I'm living on the mountain. All my worry was in vain. So if you're going through the valley, just keep on praising Jesus' name. Living on the mountain, life looks beautiful from here. So if you're going through the valley, just keep on praising Jesus' name.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you. And you know, Hank is one of the founding fathers of this Christian Worship Hour. He's been with us since day one. He's chairman of our board of directors, and he always is willing to help us and sing and help us in so many ways. And I'll tell you something else about Hank. He's got some really good records, and you can see those on our Christian Worship Hour. our network, our website, Christian Worship Hour. And he's got a lot of materials there, and you can write to him, or you can just get all the information there. Or write to us at our box, and we'll see that he gets the word. Make some good Christmas presents, and maybe I'll get one for promoting them. I don't know. Well, we're going to look here at Jesus as the only way to God. And there was a man, Archbishop William Temple of London, who a generation ago said, and it has been repeated many, many times, he said, "It is now generally agreed that Jesus of Nazareth was a miraculous figure making stupendous claims. Truer words have never been spoken, and Jesus did over and over. Wherever you read about him, whatever you find him doing, he was making stupendous claims to all of the world, Jesus Christ. What a person he was. As he walked among men, he always remained, demanded their attention. As he moved through the world of that day, he was constantly observed, and enemies and friends alike scrutinized him, every flaw and virtue possible. And there never lived another person like the Lord Jesus, man walking, God, man walking among men in this poor world. His character was above reproach, demanding admiration of even those that hated him. Yes, Temple was right. Jesus of Nazareth was a miraculous figure, and all the world knows that today. As Temple said, he made his stupendous claims as well. In the Gospel of John, we see some of these claims. They were bold and they were dramatic. And as you read about them, they're direct and dynamic and decisive. And for instance, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the light of the world." He says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the vine." What beautiful words and claims of the Savior. How many books and sermons have been written about every one of these claims of Christ? How many people ever have placed their faith in him because of these wonderful words? How many hearts have been opened to the gospel because of the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ? But of all the claims that Jesus made, perhaps the greatest, the plainest, the simplest, the most comprehensive, the most understandable is this one. "I am the truth and I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14:6, Jesus. Only the Son of the living God could form such words like that. So simple and yet move the whole earth. The most superficial reading of the great statement of Christ will say at least two things. Jesus Christ is our Lord, and in his total person and action, he is the only way to God. Jesus Christ. There's not a dozen ways or so to God. He alone is the way to God. It doesn't call for a theologian to see this one sublime statement. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. I wouldn't want to hazard a guess as to how many religions there are in the world, and so consequently there are that many different ways. But Jesus said there's only one way, and that's through Jesus himself. He is the door. We're all aiming at the same place, we hear people over and over saying. We're always aiming at the same place. Even the very godless will say that. That may be so, but did you ever aim at something and miss it? Do you ever have a hunting? Do you ever do any hunting? You shoot at something and miss it? You might miss it for a mile, or you might miss it for a fraction. It doesn't matter. You miss it. You don't hit it. And so where the fact is that a man aims for heaven, he wishes to go to heaven. He doesn't bring this to pass any more than aiming at flying at birds can bring it down. Some have the idea then that they just aim at it and they'll get it, and they're never going to hit it because there's only one way, and that's the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am that way," Jesus said. Some people have the idea that heaven is like heaven is on the top of a mountain, and there's all kind of paths all around the foot of the mountain, and they all go up the mountain, and they all go to that one place, heaven, and you can choose whatever pathway you want, and you can go up that pathway, and you'll end up in heaven. But Jesus dashed all this kind of talk to pieces when he made the stupendous claim that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For Jesus is really saying, and all of the rest of all are wrong. He's saying there's only one way and all of the rest of the ways are wrong. And you hate him for it. You can hate all you want. That doesn't change the truth. Vain man doesn't like that kind of talk. I know. I've been in the business now in my 75th year, and I've heard it over and over in my preaching because I preach the Bible. And if people like it, that's fine. And if they don't like it, that's fine too. Because it says one word of God, and I stuck true to that. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life and done things wrong in my life, but there's one thing I did right. I always preach the word of God, the Bible. And there's only one Bible and one word of God. Vain man doesn't like that kind of talk, even from Jesus, the Son of God. But so many men reject it. And they lose their own souls because there's only one way and they won't go Jesus' way and they lose their soul in hell. And if you're ever going to get to the top of the mountain, if you're ever going to evade the torments of hell, you have to enter through Jesus, the Son of God, because he said, I am the way. And that is so illuminating and that is so beautiful. There's one way to heaven and Jesus says, and I am that way. But people today don't buy into that wonderful truth so many times that the Son of God. Instead, they guess and they hope and they wander in no man's land. And their situation is much like the plight of a dog that I read about. This dog was in a big crate on a railroad platform and waiting to be loaded up. And the dog was the saddest looking dog you could ever imagine in your life. And a lady asked one of the attendants there, why is that dog so sad? And the attendant says, well, you would be sad too if you were in his plight. He's chewed off the tag off the crate and he doesn't know where he's going. There's a lot of people like that. They have rejected the tag that Jesus gave them to use, that he is the way, and they have absolutely no assurance or knowing exactly where they're going. But they're sad because it's the end of the lost soul. It's the end of the loss of their soul forever and ever. So Jesus is the key. Jesus is the way. He's the way to God. He's the way to destiny. He's the way to life. He's the way to peace and happiness. Well, then, you just have to go that way. Because if you take some other way, you're on the wrong road. That's all he can say. That's all you can do. If there is one way and you're on another way, you're on the road that leads to destruction. You have no hope and you're not going into heaven. You're going to go into hell. You can't get anything else out of this statement that Jesus gave us. You can talk to a politician. That'll leave you in limbo. You can talk forward and understandable when you come to the Son of God and he says, this is the way it is, my friends. And I'm going to put it so that the uneducated, I can make it so that the half-wits can understand it. And that is that there's one way to God, and consequently all the other ways are off base. And that's why Christian men look at the crazy world about them, and society is mixed up and confused, and they got all kinds of ways, and it's going to lead them into a place of torture and torment. Because they'll never get into heaven. They'll never find their way to God when they take these false travels, these ways. I am the way, Jesus said. And any person who's traveled that way knows full well that that's only one way. And in that way, you find fulfillment and you find peace and you find joy and you find happiness and you find content. And then eventually you'll find heaven. I am the way, Jesus said. I'm not going to say that you're always going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. The Bible tells us that we may have to go through the storms of life. We may have to face hard times. Look at the persecuted church today. They're in the will of God and they're dying. Just look and remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus sends his disciples across the sea to the other shore. And so that he tells them to go, and they go. And out of that, as they make that trip, there's a storm comes up. And it's so fierce, they're about to sink, and they think they're going to drown. there in the will of God and in the middle of the tempest. Take the man Job, for instance. Job was the most righteous man that ever lived. His neighbors said that he was a very righteous man. God said, he's the most righteous man that ever lived. And how did he live? He lived high and mighty. And all of a sudden, he loses his children. He loses his livestock. He loses his home. He loses his health. He loses his reputation. And he's out on an ash pile. And he's skin and bones. And he's filled with boils. And his wife comes and says, Job, the best thing for you, curse God and die. But Job was in the will of God. Wasn't it Jesus who said, he didn't have a place to lay his head. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. Son of man doesn't have a place to lay his head. That's what Jesus said. Jesus was homeless. And the disciples, how did they do, the apostles and all the apostles? So far as we know, there's only one who died a natural death, John. The rest were put to death in one way or another. Death. They had nothing. They didn't have life even put to death. That's the persecuted church. Started with the 12 apostles. And so when you come to this one way, I'm the way. You have to travel that way. If you don't travel that way, there's no hope. There's no help. There's no way to turn. And you're going to, so as one man preaching a sermon says, turn or burn. And that's exactly what's happening here. So Jesus' way of truth and life, there is coming that is unbelievable, compassionate. To think how that he did that, he made that possible. You can see, for instance, you can see Jesus and how compassionate he was about people and how he loved people and how he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and how he never turned anybody away. They came to him and they wouldn't take his way and they turned him away, but he never turned anybody away. He is so compassionate and loving. You see that on what we call Palm Sunday when he rides into Jerusalem and he's the king. The king is coming and he's riding. What is he going to ride on? Some Arabian steed, some great horse, some beautiful horse. And when the luck comes to him, here he's riding a little spindle-legged donkey, a young donkey. But you just can't believe it. And so what are they doing? They're throwing down branch leaves. They're throwing down their coats. They're riding Hosanna, King of Kings. And there's this great coming of Jesus. And you can scarcely believe it. He is not riding on a fiery horse steed. He's riding on that little donkey, that young donkey. And when John wrote about it, he made his record as plain and common and as unadorned as you possibly can. He says in John 12, 14 and 15. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. How lowly the master came to his people that day. Dr. W. E. Spingster of London one time remarked, there's nothing dignified about a donkey. You can look at him from any angle you like, and you'll fail to find what men call presence. Now here comes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords riding into Jerusalem, and he's riding on a donkey. The lowly creature was the choice of the Son of God for that first Palm Sunday, and he comes in there to the whole world to see, and you see how compassionate and loving and kind. I think it's Jesus' way of saying that I want the poor, I want the common, I want the everyday people. I'm not coming to look to the rich and the powerful and the mighty and the influential. I'm coming to find that little man, that poor man, that struggling man. Jesus Christ is not like the warlords that demand only the powerful men to join them. Jesus isn't like the politicians who are the most influential and crafty, and I made some many times crooked. Look at what he chose for his disciples. He's going to launch his kingdom, and he goes out and he finds them along the fishing, and he finds them under the palm tree, and he finds them here and there. Just everyday people, common people. And so he says that he doesn't look at the social and the academic. He doesn't look at how the financial standing of these people. He takes everyday people. How I love that. Of the first 12 men, there isn't a single genius among them, not a one. As a matter of fact, we don't even know what profession some of them were. And so it's just the everyday people, the little man that God picks. And aren't you happy about that? Am I ever happy about that? A farm boy out in the sticks, and we lived so far back out in the sticks at the sunset before it got to our house. Hard to believe, and so poor that the poor people called us poor. And he called me to be a minister, and I'm going to tell you, when he called me to be a pastor and a minister, I said, if he'll take the likes of me, I'm not turning that down. And I signed up, and I've been with him now, walking with him the best I can. Would have been better, but I wasn't very good a lot of times. I got my failures just more, as many or more than most people. But he forgives and he helps me and it takes me along the way. Abraham Lincoln used to say that God loved the common man the most because he made the most of that kind. And it's a fact you can't dispute. I'm always thankful to God that he had a place in his kingdom for the common, the everyday man. He left the door open for me, and he left the door open for that little man who would never, ever get to be in the king's throne or ever be the president or some great high. He's just an everyday person. And because of Christ's compassion, he has a place in his work for everyone. And when I say I don't hold education contempt, and contemptible, and I don't put people down, but I'm just telling you, he loves that little person. He knows you. He can see you. Nobody else can see you, but he can find you. He can see you. And the very same Lord God did this. For he took some of the great people. He took Augustine. He was a great man of God. He took Calvin. He took Wesley. He did use great men, but he took John Bunyan, and John Bunyan was a tinker. William Carey was a shoemaker, and William Booth, a pawnbroker's assistant. And yet he took those people, and he used them for his glory and honor. He took, for instance, Bunyan and helped him write the greatest allegory in the English language called Pilgrim's Progress. He took Carey to the northeastern India. He takes the common educated people, and maybe you can't even read or write very well, but he will use you. It's the compassionate Christ, and you would think that he would only work with the great and the mighty. But he takes the poor and the downtrodden and those that the world passes by, Jesus stops to use and help. Get all the education you can, but you have little or none. Or if you cannot read or read well, if you have trouble pronouncing words more than two syllables, remember this, give yourself to Jesus. And the tender, compassionate Christ will do wonders through you. And once, because of Christ's incredible compassion, there's a place for every one of us, even those people that have disabilities. He has a place for them. Just think of that. The discards, the rejects, the shuns, the ones that are put aside. He has a place for you. George Whitefield was one of the greatest preachers in America. He was eloquent. He was mighty in the pulpit, but he was so cross-eyed he scared people. And then there's William Wilberforce, who fought in the British Parliament for the abolition of Negro slavery in England. And perhaps he did more than anybody in all of England to free those people from slavery. And yet William Wilberforce was a hunchback. Yes, yes, there are many ways, thousands of them that God will take and use. And so whoever you are, wherever you are, maybe you don't have a thing and you're just way behind, but you can have Jesus. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants you to come. Choose carefully, my friend. Use wisely. Be careful how you choose. And when you make that choice, you pick Jesus. There's a lot of leaders that you can pick and follow. There's a lot of doctrines and there's a lot of teachings. And the world is full of religions and cults and ideas. Be careful, be careful, be careful. There's only one way, one way. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat because... Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so you can come. You can come if you want to. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. And you, God has made you as a free moral agent. He didn't make us as robots or puppets that he pulled the strings and we'll do this and we'll dance and pray and do whatever he wants. Oh, no, free moral agents. And if you want to take God's name in vain, you can take it in vain. And if you want to spit in the face of God, you go ahead and spit. He's given you a free moral agent. So you can make that choice. And when it comes to heaven, there's only one heaven and there's only one hell. And where are you going to go? You are the one to decide. Nobody can decide for it. And nobody can decide to help you. I know there are wives who would accept the Lord for their husbands, and how many parents would accept the Lord for their children. It's on and on and on. But God has said, you alone have to make that choice. And I'm going to talk to your heart, and I'm going to ask to come into your heart. And he says in Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, any man, doesn't matter who it is, any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You have to open that door. Right now, God is knocking at your heart's door. Oh, you may not see lights and hear voices. I didn't either. When I accepted the Lord, I didn't have any of those things that happened. Your earth-shaking things. I just knew Jesus was wanted to come into my heart. And I wanted him to come into mine. And I just had prayed as a 10-year-old boy. And I prayed, and you can pray it right now. Pray it with me. And you can become a child of God. You can enter that narrow gate into the way that leads into heaven and leads him forever with the Lord. And I pray, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you to come into my heart. And I'll turn from my sins. I'll follow you. I'll make you my Lord. And thank you, Jesus. That's all you do. You say, that sounds too easy. See, the devil will tell you that sounds too easy. But I'll tell you something else the devil will tell you. The devil will say, well, you should do that, but don't do it now. And wait until your anniversary, or wait until your birthday, or wait until your wife's anniversary, and then you pray to accept Jesus. And won't she be happy, poor thing, praying for you and you're stubborn as an ox? And so you're going, but the devil says, oh, I just put it off. I just wait. See, you can do it anytime. You could do it at Christmas. That'd be nice. Jesus was born at Christmas. Accept him at Christmas. That's the devil. You know what the Holy Spirit is? He says, now is the accepted time. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now. Just pray. And if you make that prayer, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us. We'll send you literature wherever you are in the world. Or you can go on our website, Christian Worship Hour, anywhere in the world, and it has the way of salvation, accepting Jesus, and you can read that. But you write and let us know. We'll send you some literature, and we'll pray for you, and you pray for us. And then you need to help us too, and so you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Just recently, we got an email. We got a letter from a person who was on shortwave in Germany, and we're just thrilled about that. We'd love to hear from you. And if you'd like to have one of the new songs, our little Bible study, you just say, I'd like the new song. We'll send it free and postpaid. And if you want to have the heart of a shepherd, and maybe you want to get a whole bunch of them for Christmas, maybe you want to just give them to all your neighbors and give them to your friends, you just write and tell us and let us know. We'll send them. And you send whatever you can. If you don't have a thing, you write anyway. Somebody else will pay the way. So now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Now I just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to many hearts. Multitudes, may millions be turning to you right now. We believe that, Lord. And then we pray for the shut-ins. We pray for those who are lonely. We pray, Lord, for the children, the little children, that they'll come to you. Pray for the young people who have so many troubles and trials. Pray for those in Pakistan and all over the persecuted church. Pray for the young people, Lord, and pray that all of them will open their heart to the Savior. And oh, maybe some have drifted away and they're going to come back. Yes, I'm coming back, dear Jesus. And his arms will be wide open like the prodigal son. He took that son and he hugged him and he kissed him. He took him back the minute he sinned terribly. And he took him back because he repented of his sins. God will do that for you. So, dear Heavenly Father, bless them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're so glad we could be with you, and we just pray that you'll write to us, and you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. Check us out on that. And always remember this, that God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his son, and his son died because he loved you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we're going to all this work. We could be off fishing someplace, but no, we want to spread the glorious gospel because we love you and we love your soul. And I want to tell you that I love you the best way I know how. And I wish I had the tongue of an angel so I could just really swap you over, but that isn't going to be. But the Holy Spirit will do all of the movement. And I just have to bring the word to the word of God, and the Holy Spirit picks it up and applies it to your heart. He's talking to you now, and he's blessing many of you who are lonely and helpless. God bless you. So until next week, we'll be looking forward to seeing you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.